I'm Danny Brown, and you're listening to Life Through a Dram.
Welcome to Life Through a Dram, where Danny Brown shares his take on life, being a better person, and appreciating the here and now, all accompanied by a dram and a fine single malt whiskey. And now, here's your host, Danny Brown.
Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Life Through a Dram. This week, I'm enjoying a really special whiskey. I only open up this now and again, and it's been a while since I opened it, so I thought, okay, I'm going to take another dram of that. And it's the 18-year-old Glenmorangie. It's a whiskey that's blended. No, it's not blended. How dare I? It's a whiskey that's been aged for 15 years in American white oak casks. And it gives a really subtle blend of sweetness, of almost like a honey taste to it, with the gentleness that's well known for the Speyside whiskies. So really, really lovely whiskey, very special, only now and again kind of dram. So Schlangevar for that. Today I want to talk about, I guess, not mortality as such, but how our visions and how our expectations and stuff like that change as we approach mortality, I guess. I was introduced to a website called rightbeforeidie.com that is a project by a photographer called Andrew, I can't remember his name, but I apologize. I will leave his details in the show notes. But the website rightbeforeidie.com, it's a project which is now a book, and it's basically speaking to people who have terminal diseases or terminal illnesses. And they have X amount of, days, weeks, months to live. And it's asking them about their approaching death, I guess, the realization that they are going to die sooner rather than later, I guess. And talking about, any memories they have that they regret, any things they wish they had done, what it feels like to know that, your impending time on this earth is coming to an end. And it's a really fascinating project that looks at different people and how they react to death and how they react to the knowledge that, they are going to pass very soon and what that means to leave loved one behind and what it means to face the unknown, I guess. Because as far as I know, no one's come back from the dead to actually tell us what's on the other side. Is there anything on there at all? Is there a reincarnation? All that stuff from religion, spirituality, and faith. So it's a real interesting project. And one of the people, it's about 20 people, I think, on the website. One of the people I picked out was someone called Abel. And because I liked Abel's quotes, there was a good few quotes in there, but a couple of the ones stood out for me. And the first one is where Abel mentions that, "My mother used to say, you cannot build your happiness on top of someone else's happiness." And that's so true. I look at the world around us and how many people seem unhappy. And I don't mean unhappy from, say, depression or a mental health illness or, something like that, that does, I know from personal experience, it does make you unhappy. I'm not speaking about that. But I'm speaking about where we feel we have to be unhappy because of someone else's unhappiness. Where we have to be happy on someone else's unhappiness. Why it takes someone having a bad time to make us happy. And if we can't find that, we become unhappy ourselves. And I look at this from a few different angles. I look at it from a person, a simple person, who sees, people around me, like neighbours, kids at school, or the kids at my kids' school, that seem unhappy, and I wonder why they're unhappy. And then I look at it from my marketer's point of view, where, for better or worse, a lot of marketers and advertisers and brands and businesses, our goal is to make people desire something. Could be a product, could be a service, could be anything, but our goal is to make them desire that. And if, as the consumer at the other end, you can't purchase that product, service, whatever it is, because of lack of finances or your other half doesn't agree that you should purchase that, or for whatever reason, it makes you unhappy. And So as people, we are responsible for other people's well-being, for their state of mind, for their unhappiness, or in this case, happiness, you know, or unhappiness, sorry. So we're responsible for that. And that's a horrible thing, really. That's a power that we have that we abuse, and we use that to our advantage at times. If we're with a girlfriend, a boyfriend, a partner, whatever, wife, husband, and for whatever reason, we want to do something that they don't, we make them feel guilty that we can't do that something so that they share our unhappiness. And that's an abuse of power, pretty much. You know, it's something that's just, I don't know. I don't know why we do that, why it's built into us as human beings that if we can't be happy, well, someone else needs to be unhappy along with us. And I see it in a wider perspective as well. I see a lot of unhappiness tied to money. As I mentioned before, if we can't afford to buy something that marketers or brands or advertisers are encouraging us to buy, we get unhappy, you know, we get pissed off that we can't afford to buy it. If you look at what's happening in the world around, you know, the globe politically, you got the US. It's, you know, the US president's looking to build his wall, and he's been continuing about this wall for the last, I don't know, two and a half years now. And that is making a lot of people unhappy on both sides. People that wish the wall that's not been built yet are unhappy it's not been built. People that don't wish the wall are unhappy because it's been suggested that it should be built. And this all comes down to, again, like a huge money grab to show a power that exists within someone that they can do this just because they want to. I mean, I don't live in the US, obviously. I don't live in any of the border states in the US. I'm here in Canada. We're close to some of the US border areas, but I'm not in the US. So I'm not trying to take this from one side or the other. I do believe that the wall, if you wish, is an unnecessary waste of money. It's, what's it at the moment? It's about $6.5 billion that I believe Trump is asking for, or $5.5 billion. That number keeps changing, so I lose track. But then I think, okay, is that wall really needed? And there's been lots of studies and research and even evidence from law enforcement agencies within the areas around the border walls that show the reason that, say, Trump is given for the wall, you know, criminals, drugs, trafficking, etc. It's not the case. Drugs come through the standard ports of entry. Violence, you know, etc. is already happening in the US and other countries without, you know, any walls being there or any focus on the immigrants. So violence, if you look at some of the tragic gun crimes that have happened in the US in the last 2-3 months, it's all been white activists, which is, you know, kind of scary to think that the terrorists are within the walls as opposed to outside where they can't get in. But you're looking at that $6.5 billion. I digressed it a little bit. I'm sorry. I don't want to make this a political podcast by any means. But you look at that $6.5 billion, and I feel that if there's is not as much a threat of the people on the other side of the wall in Mexico as we're led to believe, shouldn't that money be spent elsewhere, like on, you know, vets associations, on healthcare, on fighting the opioid crisis that's currently in the US, on giving a basic living for everyone that can, you know, use that to better their lives and better their communities around them? There's so much more that could be done with the money that's going to a wall that many feel isn't needed. And it's not just America. Here in Canada, we've got a big political issue about the Trans-Canadian Pipeline and transporting oil across the oil sands in Alberta, and how that impacts not only the surrounding area, but the First Nations people that live and rightly have claim to the land that's there. So there's a big, huge battle going on between the government, the oil companies, and the First Nations, you know, people and First Nations supporters. And again, that comes down to money. Do we really need to take that oil money and put it into that one singular area to line the pockets of more oil magnates? Or can we put that back into Canadian resources and Canadian needs? I mean, in Canada, the second largest, for example, the second largest cause of death amongst young people between the ages of 18 and 25 is suicide. There's a huge mental health issue with the youth in Canada at the moment that isn't being addressed anywhere near as importantly as it should be. So why are we plunging, and I know we have to get jobs, etc., blah, blah, and I'm not an economist, I'm not a politician, but there are so many other ways that we can, you know, bring revenue into the country without destroying the country we live in, destroying the land that people live on, whilst not treating something as important and as hugely, impactive on young kids' lives as teenage suicide and youth mental health and youth suicide. In the UK, you've got the whole Brexit thing. I'm not even going to talk about that because that just blows my mind how crazy that's got over the last few months. You've got all these people that are unhappy because of, for me, money and greed and the corporate, you know, chasing of the dollar, the almighty dollar. And we get sucked into it. I mentioned earlier, we can't buy stuff because we can't afford it. And that's because we have to pay for medical bills because we don't have, you know, Medicare, for example, in the US, or, you know, global care across the globe or whatever. So there's all these things that are happening. And like Abel said in his quote, you know, his mother used to say, you cannot build your happiness on top of someone else's happiness. And if we truly want to be a global unity or a global community where people live a happy, joyous life, and yes, there's still going to be some struggles, that's a given. But where we truly live is a global community looking out for each other. Then why do we have so much unhappiness? And why do we allow so many people at the top to be happy because they're getting something out of it, whilst everybody else is chasing that happiness because we're the ones that are being impacted? I just finished reading a book called Utopia for Realists. It's by Rutger Bregman. I highly recommend you read it. It kind of talks to the stuff I've alluded to in this podcast way better than I've even tried to attempt to describe, you know, in this show. But I highly recommend you read it. And I'm going to finish with one more of Abel's quotes. And it's, you have a one-way ticket. Don't waste it. And it's true, you know, I mean, from the moment we're born, we're dying. The very first breath we take as a baby, we're dying, you know. Every breath of air we take in, we're dying. It's not something we're going to be able to stop unless, you know, at some time in the future we do find the cure for, you know, all diseases and we can live eternal lives, I guess. But I don't know if I'd want to. I think I like creating the memories I'm creating now with the people I'm creating them with. And to continue on with that, I don't know. I think we should have a finite life. And realize that because we do have a finite life, we have to make it a good one. We have to really, as Abel says, don't waste it. And we have to bring the happiness level of people up. Because, you know, we can't continue in a world where, I don't know, 2-3% of people are happy, falsely happy, whatever, because they've got everything. And everybody else is unhappy because we're striving just to get through the day, or we're striving just to put kids through college, or we're striving just to pay for the medicine we need to take the pain away when we're suffering. So that's my show today, guys. I really feel that we can make a difference. We just have to understand that we don't have to be unhappy because people force us into any kind of buckets that say we should be this or should be that. Let's take control of our own lives. Let's really live meaningfully and live intentionally and, you know, strive to make our lives happier and the people around us happier. I hope you agree. By all means, you know, leave a comment on your platform of choice or send me an email, danny@dannybrown.me. I'm always happy to receive emails and, you know, and respond to you back. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you do enjoy it, please, you know, subscribe on your favorite podcast channel or share it with someone you feel might enjoy it as well. Until next week, guys, Shlán Jivar.
This has been Life Through a Dram. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode.